the year 1885 and our virtual tour brings us to Rathsarran, again in Rathdowney Union, on the main road between Rathdowney and Errol and on to Temple Moor. Rathsarran sits elegantly beside the road in the setting of its churchyard, dedicated to St. Columba, and inside in a glass case is, as I recall, a facsimile of the Book of Kells that somebody must have presented at some stage, and it's a reminder of our connection to the ancient saints, the continuity and steadfastness of the Church of Ireland, and the fact that those wonderful ancient illuminated manuscript books were meant to be actually gospel books, where the gospel was proclaimed in the liturgy in all its beauty as well as its power. And I sometimes say to this day that the book from which the gospel is read at the Eucharist should be the very best and most beautiful that the church can possibly acquire. Anyway, that's a thought that enters my mind in Rathsarran, but back to 1885, and suitable as we are in a country church surrounded by rolling farmland. The great Irish grievance of the late 19th century was landlordism, the fact that most people who worked the land were tenants with inadequate security, constantly paying rent to often absentee owners whose creative interest in their property was, to say the least, varied. Some were enlightened in terms of developing agricultural skills and techniques, some were not. But successive governments, including conservative ones which wanted to kill home rule by kindness, as well as liberal ones which wanted a whole rolling programme of social improvements to bring about peace and stability in Ireland, successive governments in Britain wanted to bring about schemes by which those who actually worked the land could buy out their own holdings. And the major initiative in this area was the Act of Parliament of 1885, the scheme of tenant purchase, which was known as the Ashburn Act, the Purchase of Land Ireland Act, called after the person who steered it through the parliamentary process. This was probably the most significant, wide-ranging piece of land reform and tenant purchase legislation, meant to address a huge grievance. And interestingly enough, the whole programme of tenant purchase really began at disestablishment, because disestablishment was really the first modest, rather experimental Irish Land Purchase Act, which gave the church's own tenants a state-supported means to buy out their own holdings. But this was done on a massive scale in 1885, where the Ashburn Act provided for the advance of the entire purchase money to the tenant occupiers and for repayment annuities that were lower than the existing annual rents. Later on, the amount of money still outstanding on these loans to the British government at the time of independence became a matter of some controversy with independent Ireland, but that's another story. But the Ashburn Act and acts like it changed the nature of Irish society. Ireland rapidly became a nation of owner-occupied, relatively small farms. Some might argue that it created a situation where farms were, on average, too small to be workable as agriculture developed. It also led over time to the decline of the landlords, some of them who'd been absentees anyway, but the ones who'd been more present had rather dominated the church since disestablishment in particular, when laity played a much more important role in the affairs of church government, and the landlord class were very much the people who used their skills and their time to refashion the governance of the Church of Ireland and see to its financial reconstruction. But these people, even the ones who had been largely present in their estates, began more and more to disappear. their large houses became unsustainable as the land around them was largely sold off. The landlords were regarded with varying views across the countryside. Some were regarded well, some were frankly largely hated. And so it was that later on, a few decades later, was to come some in the troubled times of the burning out of the so-called big houses and a further stage of the exclusion of the old landlord families, and indeed the loss of a great deal of important Irish art and architecture as well. So we see the disappearance of so many of the landed aristocrats who had, for better or worse, been the lay leaders of the Church of Ireland through the turbulence of disestablishment. They always sat in the front pews of their parish churches, and to this day many of those pews remain empty because those who had been used to sitting nearer the back never actually moved up. Tenant purchase was an act of justice that both transformed and complicated lay participation in the life of the church. The Church of Ireland Constitution devised at disestablishment, it assumed a great deal of lay participation. The trouble was it assumed a great number of leisured and highly educated laity. They were no longer present, and those who were busy on their farms and in their shops had no longer the same amount of time to give to the governments and politics of the church. And so there was a transformation in the kind of lay people who were involved in the church's central life. And in many ways, two decades after disestablishment, lay participation in the life of the church was very largely, over a period, handed to people who, in a phrase of the time, and it displays the astonishing snobbishness of that period from which we have taken generations to recover, it was handed to people, quote, who knew their place, and that place was not really the General Synod. Anyway, let us hope that such snobbery is no longer the voice of the reality of the church, and that everybody's contribution, everybody's skill, everybody's time, everybody's stewardship is cherished equally.